You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. If you're looking to repair or maintain your car, check out rockauto.com where they have amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. For today's show, in the first segment, I want to talk about a dominant pitching performance led by Jacob deGrom on Thursday night. I will also talk about the Mets lineup for that game, which appears to potentially be what we're going to see come opening day. Later in the second segment, I want to talk about some injuries we have in camp right now. Jose Martinez appears to be out for at least half of the season. Carlos Carrasco is going to get a late start in camp as well, so we're not sure if he'll be ready come opening day. I'll discuss those injuries and how the Mets are prepared to deal with them. And then finally, in the third segment, I want to go through the first set of roster cuts in spring training as 19 players were reassigned from big league camp. Talk about who those players are and if any of them will impact the Mets roster this season. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Now, for Jacob deGrom's second spring start on Thursday, we watched absolute dominance. The staff as a whole in this game struck out 17 batters, allowed just one hit, and they had only two walks across a complete game shutout. Jacob deGrom obviously had the start. He struck out seven batters in three innings pitched, was just simply superb. And so far in spring, he has not allowed a run through his first five innings. He is in mid-season form, already touching 101 on the radar gun, and it gets to a point, and I say this almost every time, you'll probably hear me say it all season, where I run out of analysis. There's nothing to say. The guy is just brilliant, 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 brilliant every time he steps on the field. He's the best pitcher in baseball, and he is on a clear Hall of Fame trajectory. And if the Mets play this right, this is a guy who should still have at least a five-year window, in my opinion, because that arm's not slowing down at all, where he could be the best pitcher in baseball. And with the best pitcher in baseball, you get him into the dance in October, and he could take it places. I mean, would anybody really be surprised if at some point over the next 3 years, Jacob deGrom has a Madison Bumgarner-esque run where he just puts the team on his back and they go through the playoffs? He is just that good. And you're watching him pitch, and he's just painting out there. And he's only getting better. He's only getting more intuitive. He already knows what he can do to get hitters out. He knows how he can work certain batters that he gets more familiar with. He can dot that fastball wherever he wants it. And it's just getting faster as he gets older. The slider is ridiculous. I mean, the way he can compare them, those two pitches in particular, I would put Jacob deGrom's fastball and Jacob deGrom's slider up there with any pitchers in baseball. Anyone. I can't think of a single pitcher who I'd say, yeah, they got a much better slider than Jacob deGrom, or they have a much better fastball. Between his control and the velocity that he throws these pitches, it's just a beautiful thing to watch. I love watching Jacob deGrom pitch. It sucks that some of these spring training games have not been televised, so we are missing out on the opportunity to really sit back and enjoy it. But the regular season's coming very soon. Opening day is a few weeks away. Once we get to that point, we'll get to see Jacob deGrom again every fifth day. And I have every confidence that he's going to lead this team to a very strong season. Now, some of the other pitchers that pitched on Thursday had Mike Montgomery go two innings, get four strikeouts. That's encouraging. He's a guy who could potentially fill a swingman role in the Mets bullpen if they want to have someone who's stretched out, who has that experience dating back to his time with the Cubs, where he would get a spot start here and there, then come out of the bullpen. That's a role that he could certainly carve out for himself. Jacob Barnes pitching this game, struck out the side in his inning of work. Stephen Tarpley has been very strong so far throughout spring. He pitched two more strong innings on Thursday night with a couple of strikeouts. And Daniel Zamora walked two, but did not give up a run in a scoreless ninth inning. Now let's talk a bit about this starting lineup, because I think it could be the group the Mets go with come opening day. You have Brandon Nimmo batting leadoff, Francisco Lindor is batting second, Michael Conforto third, and Pete Alonso fourth. And I want to focus on that really quick. This is a great combination of old school baseball and new school baseball. The new school baseball is Francisco Lindor in the two hole, because that's supposed to be your best hitter. The leadoff batter of Nimmo is also pretty new school, because you had the guy who gets on base a ton back in the day. Would just be put your fastest runner there. And maybe Nimmo is that, but he's not going to steal bases like we used to value back in the day. But now you just want that guy who can get close to a 400 on base percentage. And of course, that's Nimmo. But here's what I really like about this lineup. It's having Pete Alonso bat fourth. We've seen them toy with Alonso in the three hole and Conforto in the four hole, but I just like the idea of the big RBI guy batting cleanup. That's what we always saw when I was growing up, right? You would put Mike Piazza cleanup. That was the RBI spot. No, he batted third a lot too, but my point being, you want to see your Carlos Delgados batting cleanup with Carlos Beltran batting third. That was really the lineup I grew up on when I really started to know the game. And I kind of see a nice combination of that with Conforto batting third. I believe Conforto is a better all-around hitter, which is why I love him in the three-hole. And Alonso is the guy that I one-up on the rare circumstance where you can load the bases in the first inning. Pete Alonso comes up in that spot and you can break a game wide open. Now from there, you look at the bottom half of this lineup, Dominic Smith batting fifth, Jeff McNeil batting sixth, JD Davis seventh, and James McCann eighth. What's incredible about that is I can make the argument on a lot of teams that Dominic Smith, Jeff McNeil, and even to a certain extent JD Davis could be batting in the top four of a lot of lineups. Jeff McNeil has spent a lot of his career batting one through three in the lineup. Now he's batting sixth. That is pretty ridiculous. And James McCann, one of your big signings of the offseason, your biggest position player signing, cannot even crack the top seven. This is just an absolutely loaded starting lineup. Now, Pete Alonso homered in this game. That was the only run scored as the Mets won 1-0. Now, in just a minute, I want to switch gears and talk about injuries, as we've seen Carlos Carrasco get a slow start to spring training with some elbow soreness. And Jose Martinez appears to be out for a long period of time. We'll talk about all that soon. But first, I want to tell you that if you're going to repair or maintain your cars, we're trying to save money, right? Otherwise, you'd have someone else do it. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same amount of parts at a chain store or a new car dealership when you can instead go to rockauto.com? It's a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Why would you go to a store in 2021 when you can just go to rockauto.com, find everything you could need? It is a unique and remarkably easy website to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write "Locked On" in there, "How did you hear about us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Betting on the Mets does not have to be a guessing game anymore. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. From there, you can get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. So let's talk a bit about Carlos Carrasco, who has yet to make his Mets debut, and right now he is being sidelined by right elbow soreness. Now, Luis Rojas met with us earlier in the week to talk about this, and he basically did not express a ton of concern, says this is something that Carrasco has dealt with in the past, and an old quote from Terry Francona, Carrasco's old manager, said something very similar from last spring training, I believe, where Carrasco had some inflammation in his elbow. It's something that happens to him a lot. It's nothing to be too worried about. You also have the fact that Carrasco recently got the second COVID vaccine and dealt with some body aches, so we don't know if that maybe impacted his throwing arm a bit. Right now, according to Rojas, the plan is for Carrasco to play catch on Sunday. Then he'll probably throw his side. Eventually, he'll get into some live BP. And then finally, we could see him in a spring training game, maybe by the end of next week, at probably the earliest, if not a little bit later. And that does leave opening day in question. And Rojas has been very clear that they're not going to push Carrasco because they have guys that can fill in. He mentioned Jordan Yamamoto, Jared Eichhoff, and Joey Lucchesi as guys that can fill in for that spot of the rotation if Carrasco is not available. Now, it's interesting that David Peterson was not mentioned, because Peterson would be competing with all those names I just mentioned for the fifth starter job had Carrasco been healthy. Or does his lack of inclusion as a candidate to replace Carrasco, does that mean that Peterson already has that fifth spot in the rotation sewn up? It would be something that would make a lot of sense coming off his great rookie season to give Peterson that nod, especially because he's pitched well so far. Now, Jordan Yamamoto has gotten a lot of work. He's pitched five innings, has not yielded an earned run yet. Jared Eichhoff has one outing, got roughed up in it. And Joey Lucchesi has not appeared in a game just yet. So those are kind of your main options. Mike Montgomery is another one, but I believe he might be angling for the bullpen as a long man rather than angling for the starting rotation. He's also a guy with an opt-out in his contract. That means that he could sign with another team if he's not going to get a spot with the Mets on the major league roster, which also could kind of force the Mets' hand if they really want to keep him. But overall, you look at this injury and what it means for the Mets. Maybe Carrasco's not there for the first turn of the rotation. Maybe he's not there for the first two turns. But they're going to have a lot of arms that can eat up innings early in the year. You always have a pretty good amount of off days at the start of a season with the, you know, various home openers at all these different stadiums. So there's a little bit of extra rest baked in there that could help Carrasco get back sooner rather than later. I wouldn't be too concerned about this. He's going to be in the rotation, and there's no MRIs being done, nothing like that. There's not an outward concern that this is something more serious than the growing pains of going through a spring training. Jose Martinez, on the other hand, is done for a while. Has a torn left meniscus. We learned this earlier in the week. They say he'll likely be out around 4 months. At best, maybe could return around the All-Star break if the Mets even needed him. He's still going to have to rehab, get right. Going to be a long, long run before we see Jose Martinez again. The question really is, do the Mets have to do anything about losing Martinez? I was always a little bit pessimistic about Martinez's chances to really contribute to this team. Feels like he has a very similar skill set to JD Davis as a right-handed bat that can feast off left-handed pitching. Don't think the Mets necessarily need another one of those on their bench, with JD Davis going to be kind of cycled in and out of the starting lineup along with guys like Jonathan Villar and Luis Guillorme, who I think are going to get a lot of playing time in the infield. So for now, I don't think this is that big of a deal. We did hear some reports earlier in the week that Mikel Franco was an option for the Mets. You'll obviously remember Franco because he spent six seasons with the Philadelphia Phillies, where he hit .249 with a .302 on base percentage and a .431 slugging percentage, had 102 home runs, 343 RBIs, and a 743 OPS during his time in Philadelphia. Had some better years than others, but overall, if you look at his weighted runs created plus, it was 93 across his time with the Phillies. That does not point to him being an above average hitter. He's also a below average defender, was worth minus one out above average last year. He was worth minus 19 OAA since the metric has been recorded in 2016. So not a good defensive third baseman either. He did have a good season in 2020, playing all 60 games for the Royals, hitting .278 with a .321 on base percentage and a .457 slugging percentage. Hit 8 home runs, had 16 doubles. His WRC plus was 106. So it was one of his better seasons, but it was a small sample size. Unless Franco agrees to a minor league deal, don't see any reason for the Mets to be signing him. And so far, after the initial report, we've heard nothing about this. So maybe the Mets were just checking in. Now, with all that being said, you look at the depth to fill that role that Martinez may have had. There is already a couple of right-handed bats on this roster with Albert Amora and Kevin Pillar coming off the bench. So I think that kind of minimizes the need for him anyway. You have Jake Hager as a potential guy that fills in. There's some depth. He's hit 2 home runs in camp so far, but I wouldn't expect too much out of him as he has a career 688 OPS in the minor leagues. You have other guys like Jose Peraza and Brandon Drury who are getting some playing time in camp right now. I don't think either of them makes the team, but if there's an injury, those are guys with major league experience that can step in. And then just to talk about a prospect real quick that could maybe surprise us and get to the major leagues really fast, I would watch out for Mark Vientos. I don't think he's really going to make that leap because the last time we saw him was in low A. Last year, he would have spent the season in high A, could have even maybe earned a promotion double A by the end of the year. So I don't know where the Mets plan to slot him right now. I would figure they'll probably start him off in high A with the potential to rise to double A. Not saying I expect him to make this team, but you know what? If he's like red hot all season, is there an outside chance we see Vientos later in the year if he's just tearing the cover off the ball and the Mets need someone to fill that role of being a right-handed bat off the bench or maybe to fill in at third base? It's a possibility. The only way it would happen probably is if something goes wrong with J.D. Davis, but it's just a guy to watch. I just think he's a bit closer to the majors than any of the other top prospects that we talk about with Brett Beatty, Francisco Alvarez, Ronnie Mauricio, all those guys. And all of them were just reassigned. And that's what I want to talk about next. Go through the names of the players the Mets reassigned in their first set of spring cuts. We'll talk about that and more in just a minute. But BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code Locked On. Again, that's promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with so many amazing flavors, including the caramel brownie bar, my personal favorite, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp. Every time I go to BuiltBar.com, I see a new flavor I just have to try. So make sure you check them out today. They really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. Come covered in 100% chocolate. Built bars are soft and easy to chew, and they're healthy as they come low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So the Mets made their first cuts of the spring, reassigning 19 players from big league camp. The pitchers included top prospect Matt Allen, Oscar De La Cruz, Riley Gilliam, another top prospect JT Jin, Harold Gonzalez, Trevor Hildenberger, Tyler Meagle, Steven Ogasek, Marcel Renteria, Jared Robinson, and lefty Tom Wendell. Now, the one name that's interesting there is Trevor Hildenberger, because there was a school of thought that he might make this team. Went out in his two innings of spring training, got six strikeouts, has a past relationship with the pitching coach, Jeremy Hefner, as Hefner was with the Twins from 2017 through 2019, the 3 years that Hildenberger was in their bullpen. They were working together really well in spring training. Luis Rojas was praising Hildenberger earlier in the week, talking about how much their collaboration has been beneficial to him, that Hefner really had him clicking on all cylinders. It felt like he had a real chance here to make the bullpen, and then suddenly he was reassigned. I think that could be indicative of how much competition there is to make the bullpen. If the Mets aren't going to make a move and get off of some money with Dellin Betances or Dries Familia by either trading or just cutting either pitcher, that really takes a couple of spots that could have been up for grabs. Then, of course, you have guys like Miguel Castro, Edwin Diaz, Trevor May, Aaron Loop. All of them had the major league contracts. They're going to be in the bullpen. Seth Lugo, probably starting the year on the injured list, so that did open up one spot. But you still have Robert Gazelman, Jordan Yamamoto, Mike Montgomery, and there's so many different guys here that can factor into the bullpen, and that could just be what happened here with Hildenberger, where he's not a pitcher that's highly coveted outside of the Mets, someone they could stash away, and we'll see if they need him at some point this year. So I think that could be part of the motivation there. You look at someone like Mike Montgomery, who has that opt-out, someone you maybe want to pay a little bit more attention to, and I guess at a certain point, you can only have so many arms to feed with limited games in spring training to get a look at these guys. So that was just a very interesting cut, because I was going to do a podcast talking about Hildenberger, his stuff, and why he could make the team, and we learned very quickly that that will not happen. Now you go to the position players, no real surprises. Francisco Alvarez, Nick Mayer, Hayden Senger, Pete Carr-Armstrong, Drew Ferguson, Brett Beatty, Ronnie Mauricio, and Mark Vientos all got reassigned. That is the future of the Mets when you talk about Alvarez, Pete Carr-Armstrong, Beatty, Mauricio, and Vientos. It's going to be fascinating to watch their development this year, where they get slotted into the minor leagues after a year off. So that's going to be important. And Ronnie Mauricio in particular really did impress in camp. We talked about Vientos already. But for Mauricio, this is a guy that really could be a prospect that ends up in all those top 100 prospects around baseball, all those lists. He has all the tools that scouts love. 19 years old, has put on a ton of muscle from where he was last year, where he was just this lanky 6'3", 6'4", shortstop. Now he really filled out, and so he just looks like a better athlete. And he's going to put himself in a position here where he can have a really big year and turn a lot of heads around baseball. In camp so far, he went 5-for-11, scored a run, had three RBIs, played in seven games. Good opportunity for him to learn. He met with the media on Wednesday. I was on those Zoom calls. And he really has a lot of confidence for a young kid, someone who talked about just doing what he could to get to the big leagues. He was asked about Lindor and if, you know, that could be a roadblock to him achieving his goals at the big league level. And instead, he talked about how Lindor helped him a lot, taught him a lot in camp so far, and basically just said he has to focus on himself, because if it's not with the Mets, there's other teams who could be interested in him down the line. It's a very mature answer to understand the business of baseball, and all he has to do is perform, and the opportunities are going to come to him. He did mention that he's open to learning other positions. I mean, he's only played shortstop as a professional. I don't think that's going to change. If we ever get to the point where the Mets have to choose between Lindor and Mauricio, they have to figure out how to fit those guys into a starting lineup, it's a great problem to eventually have. It's years down the line. I wouldn't worry about it, but seeing a guy who's speaking as confidently as he is at a young age, who has turned a ton of heads around camp, who's a switch hitter, who seems to have every tool imaginable. He just looks like a player with a lot of star power. And I'm just, again, fascinated to see how he develops this season. Now, along with the 19 players that were reassigned, you had three players that had to be optioned. And those include Franklin Killamay, Sean Reed Foley, and Thomas Zubucki. And the reason, or the difference, I should say, between being reassigned and being optioned is these are all guys on the 40-man roster where it took one of their minor league options to reassign them away from the big league camp, basically establishing, I should say, that those guys will be starting in AAA. For Killamay, it's good for him to not have to be pressed into major league action when he's not ready. He can focus on his development. For Sean Reed Foley, he has gone through his struggles with the Blue Jays, came over to the Mets in the Steven Matz trade. Another guy that has something to prove this year out in AAA, but could, with some upside as a former top prospect, factor in whether it's out of the bullpen or the rotation for the Mets this season. And finally, you have Zubucki, who I have said before, right now, we look at the upper levels of the Mets farm system, he might be the one guy that really kind of stands out as an impact arm that could slide into the rotation at some point. I think they're going to be really patient with him. He's dealt with a ton of injuries throughout his minor league career. So I think they just want to get him healthy, pitching every fifth day, getting deep into games, really developing at the AAA level. I don't expect to see him this year, but you never know. He has a lot of talent. And so that's definitely the arm out of all, I would say, we should be watching in AAA this season. Anyway, that'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. I will have one more episode for you tomorrow on Saturday. Missed out on an episode on Tuesday, so I want to make sure you get your five episodes now that we are in the thick of spring training. So stay tuned for that. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan and follow the show at Locked On Mets. Also, if you're getting ready for your fantasy baseball draft, you now have a new resource that'll help give you an edge in your leagues, and that's Locked On Fantasy Baseball, a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of experience to offer the strategies, waiver wire pickups, everything you need to win your leagues. Whether it's season-long fantasy, dynasty leagues, DFS, Locked On Fantasy Baseball covers it all. So subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.